This is the Mason Vera Payne Show, your go-to lifestyle program, covering everything from technology and gaming to movies, TV shows, and pop culture to the supernatural and beyond. Brought to you by WGNRadio.com with your host, the unabridged millennial, Mason Vera Payne.
The unabridged millennial, Mason Payne here, and thank you for tuning in. We all have hobbies that we enjoy, and at one point or another, the thought has popped in some of our heads. Can I make some real money off of this hobby? Joining me to explain what you should know before you try to turn your hobby into a business is author and small business expert, Amy Vetter. Thanks for joining me, Amy.
Thanks for having me.
I read the intro of your book, and you were a CPA, and you were going to be partner, and you kind of just left that all. Like, what happened?
Yeah, so I actually am a CPA and became a partner in a CPA firm and have worked really hard to get to that point in my life. But like many of us, you know, we have goals when we start out in our careers and really don't question those goals. They're sometimes, you know, predestined for us. And when we get there, when we think that we'll be the happiest, you know, because we finally accomplished it, sometimes it feels different than what we expect. And that was really the wake-up moment for me, was when I got to this pinnacle that I wanted to get to, and I wasn't as happy as I thought I should be. It really made me step back and think about my career and life and where I may want to go. But I actually didn't leave the accounting industry. I pivoted my career in order to still use the skills that I worked so hard for, but really did a lot of soul searching. And that's really the book with my stories and other people's stories of how you pivot and, you know, make sure that you're living a life full of things that you love to do rather than just pinning it on one thing of why something might not feel right for you.
So you've seen that a lot where people are just like, oh, man, I don't want to be at this dead end job, or man, I need a career change. So, and they try to make their own business. So you've seen that happen before?
Oh, yes. And I think, you know, a lot of times when we get to a point in our life, we immediately blame our job or something in our family of why we don't feel good. And instead of really stopping and assessing ourselves, and you know, I have worked with thousands of small business owners at this point in my career, really helping them. And that was a way I pivoted in my career, was to be more of an advisor to small businesses rather than focusing in audit or tax and an accounting path, but really specializing in the areas of small business that really meant a lot to me. And what you find is a lot of people quit their jobs and go into, you know, start a business just because they really like something, but they haven't done all of the research that they need to do of what it really takes to be in that kind of business. And if you change your hobby into work, is it still going to feel good?
How many of those people actually had a business plan, or were they just kind of like, oh, I've been doing this for years, I know what I'm doing?
There are people that put business plans together, but I say a lot of people, you know, just assume that, you know, when they open a business, it will do fine, or they don't have a financial background that will help them in putting a business plan together. And another thing that is really hard when you start up a business is cash flow. You know, a lot of times you're funding it from yourself or credit cards or maybe taking loans for family or friends. And what you really should be doing up front in a business is making sure you have the right experts or specialties to ensure that you are planning and forecasting properly. But a lot of people skip that part because they need to do capital improvements. They need to buy product. They need to do, you know, put all these systems in place. And then what happens is, you know, 6 months, a year in, they're like, oh, my goodness, I don't know where I'm at. And that's a much harder time to bring a specialist in versus in the beginning to make sure that you're playing properly. But even if you didn't do it in the beginning, you absolutely should bring someone in at any point in your business so that they can properly advise you, since that's, you know, their expertise.
Well, you know, I'm sure there are people out there who like, oh, I have a really great business on Etsy. And it's like, well, it's more of a hobby, or would that be kind of a business?
think it all depends on how that business is doing. And you know, to your point, I think it's a really good idea to, before you give up everything in your life or your career or your salary, is to do what's called a side hustle, you know, where you really test the idea on the side, you know, and maybe you do start an Etsy shop, or, you know, if that's something that you want to do, or, you know, if you're looking into another hobby, you know, maybe it's music and you like playing music. So you're like, oh, you know, maybe I would want to have a music lesson business. If that's what you want to do, make sure you test out the concept, you know, on a part-time basis to really see if there is a business there and that you could actually afford quitting your job and, you know, making that commitment full-time into that business. It's a great way to test it.
You know, when you're doing some of this stuff online, it's so easy to become centric. But mm-hmm. How should you look for your own competitors online? Like, should you even bother, or it's like, hey, I can still just be centric on myself?
I think there's a mixture of both. I think it's really important that you think about what the competitor is doing and have an understanding of what's working or not working. So just because they're a competitor doesn't mean they're successful. Number one. Number two, everybody's business is a little bit different. So, you know, customers are attracted to, you know, what it is about you that makes you unique. So I think there's some learning to understand from what competitors are doing. But if you stay 100% focused on competitors, it's really going to deter you from your own unique style of business. And so, you know, really step back and, you know, going back to putting a business plan together, you know, part of doing that process is really coming up with your mission statement, with your values as a company, what makes you unique, and really understanding where you want to go and staying agile enough in your business. So you put a business plan together, you try something, you know, for 90 days, see how the customers respond to it. And then if they're not responding in the way, or you start learning from your customers that they want something different, then you need to pivot your business, pivot your services so that you're doing what your customers are telling you. And that's a really important thing as a business owner, is to not get too stuck on what other people are doing. The most important person to listen to are your customers.
That's a good one. I really like that. You know, when it comes to transitioning a hobby into a business, do you think that providing a service or a product is like, which one would be easier?
I think it depends on your expertise and your passion. I think if you're opening a business, again, just going back to the things that you're passionate about in life, that you really want to do something where it's not going to feel like work, that you're going to really enjoy being there. So, for instance, in my book, I talk about my journey with yoga. And, you know, I found yoga in my 30s and, you know, for many years, really had no interest in yoga at all. I was more boot camp and, you know, that type of fitness. And when I actually really started getting into it, understanding it, I just fell in love with the practice. And being an entrepreneur myself, you know, immediately wanted to get into a business. And I was asked by a studio to become a partner. And one of the things I realized, you know, when I started that, was it was very different from the other side of yoga. You know, the other side of a, you know, when you're managing yoga teachers versus taking a yoga class, the different varieties of yoga and which types of customers are attracted to those. And I realized I wasn't a subject matter expert yet to run that business. And I kind of left that business after a while and went deeper into my practice, became a yoga teacher, really learned the industry from my own perspective. And then later on, when I moved to Ohio about 5 years ago, I opened a yoga studio again, but I came in with a lot more industry knowledge of, you know, the practice, but also having done a business before, being a teacher myself, you know, it really helped me, you know, mold the types of decisions that I was making. And also just setting my sights on the fact that, you know, what was my purpose in opening this business? And my purpose is that, you know, the health and wellness of people and the benefit that they get from the services I provide actually is fulfilling to me as much as, you know, hopefully the business is successful, right? But you need to know, like, what your purpose is in going that business. So if you decide to do a product, is it a product that really matters to you? Or are you driven by money, which you should know, and, you know, you're looking for a product that your purpose is, I want to make a lot of money. And if that's what you want to do with your business, then follow that path as well. But just make sure you step back and know why you're going into any service line, because once you get into your own business, you're going to need to enjoy it and keep remembering why you did it.
That's so true. And that was actually my next question. You know, there are so many people that I've seen that are so passionate about their hobby, and then they get into, like, turn it into a business. And before you know it, six months later, 8 months later, a year later, and they hate their hobby or slash business now. How can you avoid that?
Well, and I think that's a little bit of the research you need to do, you know, ahead of it, that you understand what it's like to run a business. So, you know, going back to the yoga example, I speak to a lot of yoga studio owners about, you know, the financial side and helping, you know, a lot of yoga studio owners were actually yoga teachers that decided, oh, well, I just want my own studio and I'll open it up. But they don't understand the business side, and the business side of managing yoga teachers. And, you know, when a yoga teacher doesn't show up, what that means for them, or being exhausted from teaching too many classes, or, you know, not setting the right expectations and contractual language with your customers or your staff. All of those things, it's really important to do your research before you get into it and really reach out to people. So one of the chapters in my book is about creating a, you know, support network for yourself, and how you find those mentors or coaches that can help you in anything you want to do in life, whether that's in corporate or whether that's in business. But especially if you're going to start in an industry you've never been in business yourself in, you know, you can, even if you don't know anybody personally, that's where social media is so important, where you can reach out and search for people that are thought leaders in that industry or experts in that industry, where you could even reach out on LinkedIn or Twitter or Facebook and try to set up a time and say, look, I'll pay you for an hour if I could just ask you some questions on, you know, your business and what it's like, you know, this is what I'm thinking of doing. And, you know, and I would always offer, you know, to pay. I mean, they may not, you know, take your money, but, you know, that you value their time. It shows that, you know, it matters. And then you can start getting some information from people that don't feel competitive with you, that have been there, done that. So you can get some of another idea, be like on the other side of it.
You know, that's so funny. When I was younger, I wanted to open up my own comic book shop. And I know it was silly, but I really wanted to open one, and I was going to use my own comic books as like the inventory. And I had like a semi understanding of it. But I remember trying to talk to one of these owners of a comic book shop, and I was like asking him questions, and he was very guarded, like, hey, what are you trying to do? How do you avoid that? Because when you're saying, oh, you can pay people, but what if you don't have the money?
Yeah, well, and that's why I would say make sure to reach out to people that aren't competitors, and also seek out groups on Facebook or LinkedIn as well. Those have been extremely helpful for me. Is there's lots of specialty groups. So I am sure there are comic book groups on Facebook and LinkedIn, and people that have hobbies or businesses doing that. And what happens during the day, people just post in questions and say, you know, I'm not sure where I go source comic books. And then other people will come in as like, I have this great vendor, or I have this person or that person. That's a great way, if, you know, you can't pay, to just stay up to date on how people are, you know, what are the issues for people, as well as where do you find sources and information that other people may know that are in these social media groups? And don't underestimate them. People are really helpful, and it really becomes a community, because one of the things about being a business owner is it can be lonely. You know, if you're in a corporation, there's always people to call, you know, other experts available. But when you start up your business, you soon realize, like, you've got to figure all this stuff out by yourself. So either you need to pay the experts to help you or find resources online. There's also the SBA, Small Business Association, and most cities as well, where they've got resources to help businesses put a business plan together and help with training as well, that may help as well as a new business owner.
If you're going to sell products, should you even bother having like contracts available? Because, you know, I started thinking about the comic book shop. I know that at one point you have to sign contracts with these vendors. You have to prove you have a brick and mortar. But should you have a lawyer available, or should you like, oh, I'm just going to sign everything?
I absolutely have a lawyer available. it is way more expensive to get yourself into trouble and have to pay a lawyer than getting a lawyer in advance. So, you know, put in your budget when you're thinking about the cash outflow for your business, like, you know, a lawyer, an accountant, you know, these specialties are so important, where it's almost like the best way for me to compare it is insurance. You know, if you don't buy health insurance and then you get sick, you can't get health insurance. And, you know, it's the same thing in business. If you don't do the proper planning up front with the right specialists, and they look at your business and make sure that you've got the right protections in place, or that you're not signing for something that's going to get you in trouble later on, when you get in trouble, it is an astronomical amount of money that you'll have to spend to get yourself out of it.
Oh, I just thought of that. You need employee contracts too. So it's like you can't Google that, right?
Exactly. Employee contracts. If you're looking to go into a partnership, you need to make sure you have partnership agreements, you know, the liability insurance, you know, for having a business and customers using your products or coming into your physical location. All of those things are things you need to think about as you're opening a business.
Do you ever find that people overlook those a lot when they go from hobby to business?
Yeah, because they get so excited to start a new business. You know, I think going back, you know, to the work-life harmony, you know, story is, you know, when we get in those ruts in our life and nothing feels really great, and then we make this, like, monumental decision to just take something new on and do something, you know, full-time that we love to do, you know, sometimes we go headfirst into just getting it started without doing all the preparation and everything else that's needed in order to make sure that we're protected. So it is important to stop and always assess your situation. So one of the things, you know, in this book, it's called Business Balance and Bliss, but it's a methodology so that you're constantly can think about it quickly as you're going through business situations. So understand your business situation. That's the first B. Then the balance is, how do you kind of step back, balance whatever situation you're in, you know, make sure, like, if it's a stressful situation, you're stepping back and breathing before you take a response or you move a little slower. And then the bliss is how you maintain that decision and make it a habit in your business. So, you know, it can be something as simple as, you know, every day you feel like the business is running you, and, you know, instead you can use this methodology and say, you know, how, instead of being stressed out every day, how am I going to set goals each day? So my balance to that would be, every day before I start work, I'm going to write down 2 to 3 things that I want to accomplish today. And then if that works for you and you test that in your life and you do it every day for 30 days to see how it works, then the bliss is, how do I maintain this in my life? How do I make this a consistent thing every morning before I you know, start my day, to really be intentional about the things that I do, because it's so easy as a business owner to get distracted and wrapped up in all the things that are coming at you during the day.
For those that are interested, where can they find your book at?
So my book is on Amazon, Nook, Kindle, iBooks. But if you want a direct link to that, you can go to my website. It's amyvetter.com. And under that, you'll see the book section that says Business Balance and Bliss, and it will give you a link directly to where you can download it.
Well, thank you so much for coming on, Amy. I really appreciate you being here.
Thanks so much for having me.
This has been the Mason Vera Payne Show. Thanks for listening. Can't wait to hear more? Subscribe, rate, and comment at masonverapaine.com. That's MasonVeraPaine.com. Also, follow Mason on Facebook and Twitter at Mason Vera Payne. That's all one word. And don't forget to share the show with your friends.